You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
KSL at night.
And welcome back to KSL at Night. You're here with me, Leah Murray, alongside my good friend Greg Skordas, and we've been having a great conversation about things that are happening in the world. So, Greg, I am a big follower of thought leaders, right? So people who talk about and think about political questions, not necessarily politicians, right? Who
are Why running, am I not surprised by this right? at all? You know, I mean, I'm sure you read articles constantly about things like this.
Yeah. And I love people who are kind of deep thinking. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite thought leaders is David French. Okay. So David French is a conservative writer. I read him in The Atlantic sometimes. He's in The New York Times. He's a lawyer. So you'd probably get along with him. Litigates free speech cases on campuses years ago. I want to be clear that we probably disagree a lot politically, but I love the way he thinks, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah, sure.
Following him on Twitter back in the day, and then I followed him off Twitter onto Threads. So when he moved over to Threads, I followed him. And when I was following him, he is married to a woman named Nancy French. And so they would kind of post, right? And so I started also following her. And she's super interesting in her own right. Does that make sense? And
sure,
I enjoy
absolutely
not exactly a political thought leader, if that makes sense. Like, she doesn't post the same way that David French does. Anyway, as a result of this, I was made aware of Jennifer Graham, who is ideas and culture editor for the Deseret News. She wrote a piece on Nancy French's new book. So I just was like, oh my goodness, can I talk to another? I want to talk to another fan. Jennifer Graham, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much. I don't think I'm supposed to identify myself as a fan of Nancy French because I was writing about her, but now that it's been published, I will out myself. Yes.
I love that.
She's a very interesting person.
No, and your article was so interesting, and Jennifer and all of our listeners should read it, just the way you talked about meeting with her and what you all talked about. Can you tell me, even if I love how you just said, I can't out myself as a fan. So let me just ask you, why did you write about her? So what was the appeal that made what you wanted, that made your article that you wanted to write?
Well, Nancy kind of reflects in the glory of her husband in a sense. And I mean, she has probably as many followers and fans as he does, but she doesn't get the attention that he does. Because she doesn't have the platform. And so I've been aware of her for 10, 15 years because she and I were both kind of in the Philadelphia, D.C. area at the same time. And this actually wasn't her first book. She actually wrote a memoir called Confessions of a Liberty Belle, I think the name of it was. She used to be kind of a humor writer about being a Southern writer living in the Northeast. But her writing has really grown and developed over the years, and she began doing ghostwriting, which interestingly enough started after Ann Romney asked her to ghostwrite a book for her. And she turned into this really prolific writer. And she's just super interesting to me because she did go to college, but she dropped out. As she told me, that she's very ambitious. She's dropped out of 3 colleges and she might drop out of more.
Jennifer, that was like my favorite quote in your article.
I love that.
Excellent. Yeah.
And so, I mean, she's just a super interesting person, just as thoughtful and intelligent as her husband, but just a very different life trajectory for sure.
So, Jennifer, I noted also in your article, you talked a little bit about a Utah connection as it relates to Mitt Romney and a fib that she told. Can you tell our listeners about that?
Well, she would prefer that you buy the book and read it, but
okay.
Yeah, I'll give you the short
Give us the hint.
Yeah. Well, she actually writes about the Romneys a lot because they got very involved in his campaigns for president. And in fact, one of the photos that we published of her in the story was from one of the results parties, one of the after parties, which her whole family was sobbing at because Mitt, of course, did not win. But she got close to the Romneys by working for the campaign. She said it was the only actual paid campaign job she'd ever had. She canvassed for him in Tennessee. And after he dropped out of the race, there was a group of just campaign supporters and people who had worked with the campaign who had kind of a reunion in Utah. And so she came out. Her husband was in Iraq at the time. And so she came out and met with this group. And as she was literally leaving town, she got a text from Ann Romney that said, "Hey, do you want to come out, hang out with us at Deer Valley?" And she said, "Well, I couldn't turn down that opportunity." But then Ann said, "Do you ski?" And she was caught off guard. And, you know, sometimes we get flustered and we might say something that's not exactly true in the heat of the moment. And so she said yes, even though she had not been on skis since she was in the seventh grade.
Oh, no.
And that was on a very small bunny hill somewhere on a school trip. So anyway, Mrs. Romney, gracious as she is, said, "Please come out and spend the weekend with us." And she went. And while she was there, Mitt Romney once again said to her, "Do you ski?" And again, she felt kind of like a deer in the headlights, I guess, is the way she explained it to me. But, you know, she's caught in this lie. She didn't see at any point where she could back out of it. And so she wound up on top of some steep mountain, dressed up in Olympic gear that the Romneys had given her, and telling them, oh, you guys go ahead. I'll come behind you.
Yeah.
But they were like, "Oh, no, we're all going to go as a group."
Oh, no.
And so it didn't go well. I'll put it like that. And she lost a pole. She lost control. She went literally careening down the mountain and crashed into the senator. And it was actually, from the way they described it, it was actually a pretty dangerous situation where, like, the whole family gathered around. And they were actually praying at one point. I think they were so close to a cliff. So,
oh, good heavens.
Really interesting story that she tells in more detail in the book.
So I'm wondering, just to pivot a little bit to politics, I loved the quote you have in here where you're quoting her talking on MSNBC's Morning Joe, where she says, "We're about as popular as head lice in the Republican Party." I'm wondering if you can talk to us a little bit about, I love the closeness she has with the Romneys, right? And I feel like that's a kind of Republican that's like, they're going to pray on a mountain, right? When there is right. a kind of a ski accident, right? Or this matters in a way to them, very earnest, sincere, devout people, right? And then really not feeling, right? She's moved her church. She doesn't really feel connected because her faith is a little, right, more political maybe than she would like it to be. Anyway, could you speak a little bit to that? And did that come out in your conversations with her?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's part of it is part of the reason for the title of the book, which is Ghosted, because there are, as I tried to explain in that article, there are a bunch of meanings in that title. But one of them is that she feels that she and her husband have been ghosted by the Republican Party and by many of the evangelical Christians that both of them grew up with. And it's important to note that both of them are deeply religious people. Both of them grew up in church communities. Both of them went to Christian schools, although David, of course, later went on to Harvard Law, which is not a Christian school. But anyway, his undergrad, and she attended for a while Lipscomb College in Nashville, which is a religious school. And so, you know, they are still devout Christians in every sense of the word. But what happened is, after they felt like they could not support Donald Trump because of all the reasons, there's no need to rehash all of that, but, you know, the many moral reasons that some people felt like they could not be supportive of the president, the former president, they began being ostracized in the church, to the point where she said they could not even go to church anymore without people who disagreed with them coming up and confronting them at church. One quote she said was that she couldn't take it anymore when people were saying things to her at the communion table, which is just kind of shocking to me, and in a sense, because again, these are deeply religious people, but the partisan conflict is so intense in this country now that you can't even separate it at church in a lot of communities.
Yeah. Jennifer Graham, Ideas and Culture Editor for the Deseret News. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you so much for interviewing Nancy French. I appreciate it.
Thank you. A pleasure talking to both of you.
All right. So I love where we just left it there. Right?
I get the feeling you're going to go buy that book soon.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I'm trying to buy it at a local bookstore.
Yes, right?
So next up on KSL at Night, let's have a conversation with Jeremy Cunningham, Public Policy Director for the Alzheimer's Association.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.